Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very V-A-R-Y Necessary Podcast. What's up? What's going on? How you doing?
Hiya, hiya. Sasha and Mia in the house.
Remember we used to be in the club?
Ow.
You know, my cousin called me Thundercat. I don't know how I feel about that.
Okay, I'm scared to ask.
Yeah, a Thundercat. I don't even know the stages of the different animals, like the leopard, where did a Thundercat come in at? Like, is a Thundercat a real thing? Well, or is it just a fiction?
So I thought the Thundercats were the younger people because the cougars
are
the older ladies.
But is Thundercat a real cat? Or is that a fictitious type?
Well, yeah. Well, hold on. I think it is because I know it was a cartoon called Thundercats, right?
Ho!
Yeah, yes. Thundercats ho. So, I don't even know.
And why they had to say ho after Thundercats?
Maybe that was the call to go hoeing. I don't know.
Like but the Batman signal.
But no, I take that back. Because you remember back in the day when we used to party and we'd be, you know, ho, ho. I don't know. Maybe that just gives you revved up to.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
That was, but, you know, we can always switch some shit around. Thundercats.
So if we were thunder. No, if we were thunder. I don't know.
I mean, that's just like we used to dance to. It's some hoes in this house. It's some hoes in this house.
If you see them, point them out.
But here's the thing.
I used to be on my hands and my knees.
Everybody was dancing. So I'm thinking to myself, well, if you find it to be a nice little ditty to dance to.
See, that's what's wrong with the clubs now. Well, we don't even have clubs like we did back then. Like, because everybody kind of like stand up. They don't move around. They don't dance. They don't socialize, mingle. They don't mingle. They're cliquish. Well, we were cliquish has always been a thing. But we were dancing.
We were dancing.
We tore that damn floor down.
So, you got to remember, back in the 70s, everybody was dancing.
It was
the disco.
The 70s was the house party.
You were the eyeball if you were the flower on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You were supposed to be out on the dance floor shaking your ass. It didn't matter if you had anybody to dance with. You danced by yourself, right?
Yep.
And that led into the 80s. Same difference. 90s.
No, 90s was still,
you was dancing, but that's when we were more gangsta rap and dudes didn't think it was as cool to dance. Remember, Goody Mob wrote a whole song about it. They don't dance no more. They don't dance no more. So they might, so back in, so around Goody Mob time, what was that, around 96?
Which is
where we gonna go into our show today. That was a time where all we do is this. All we do is this. You know, it was like they would do the two-step. They wouldn't.
That's when they became lazy when that two-step started.
Right. So dudes in the 96 era.
Shoulder lean.
Yeah, would start, you know, they might do a little bop. They might do a little two-step. But it wasn't going to be no full blown out, we going to dance on the floor.
Ain't gonna cut a rug.
Ain't gonna cut no rugs. Absolutely not. Because they was too cool. Mm-mm. And then we got into the 2000s. And
I don't know what happened. They lost their way. It's just a whole different breed. And maybe we're older now and we see it differently. Maybe we're comparing our experiences to what they are experiencing now. And I feel like the generation 2000 and beyond, they do not know what fun really, like their fun is their fun, but they really don't know what our fun was like. Our fun was good.
Was a damn time.
Our fun, it was like scavenger hunting fun. Like, cause we didn't have the cell phone. We didn't have, well, we came into the pages in the mid 90s, but it was, you know, you knew everybody, like, it was just
because
better.
There was no social media. So you had no choice but to meet people, get to know people. I mean, back then, all you had was a phone. So,
and dudes made it their business to stand out, to be that dude that everybody wanted to get at, and to say it was just different. Like, guys, even the guys back then, it was a dress, is like best dress, you know, who got the best whip, who has the flyest shoes, because they were always ready to impress the ladies. You know, whether it ain't about flashing the money, but that was a bonus. But it was like, who had the dopest haircut, who kept themselves groomed. Dudes kept themselves groomed back in the day.
Right.
They kept themselves on point because they never knew what girl they was going to holler at, and they had to be ready. They didn't get ready. They stayed ready, so they had to get ready. And we were like that, too. We were like that, like, do not come half-stepping.
Because you might as well just stay
do
home.
Do not come half-stepping.
If your hair wasn't done, stay home. If you ain't, if you couldn't get you a little $35 outfit from the It's Fashion or the Rainbow or the Stewart's or the 579.
What?
Stay home.
Get that little paycheck for my little fast food.
You can't get that $25 full set. Stay home. $15 fill in.
And go to the hair supply store and roll that hair up and put it in the microwave. What you talking about? What you talking about?
Looking brand new.
What you talking about now? I mean, these keep, they getting taping. Like, where y'all getting the money from? How y'all, like, I don't know. Times has changed. Times has changed.
But I look at them now, and so I look at some of the girls now, and the eyelashes for me is just, ooh, that's a lot.
Cumbrellas. That's what they call.
But girls think now, if they have some lashes on, hair ain't even gotta be done, because half of y'all walk around with bonnets on or a wig. Yeah, it's just, we could see the effort in what we put into ourselves back in the day versus now. Even back then to now, Vaughn, can you see a difference between how girls of this day don't mind wearing clothes somewhat too small, stomach hanging out, breasts kind of hanging, sagging, no bra, no panties. It's just different.
I mean, it's different because now the guys, all they want to wear is slides. Not our generation, the younger generation. All they want to do is wear slides and gym shorts. That's it. I understand being comfortable is relaxing, but that ain't how we stepped out. Our generation didn't have that bonnet wearing. We did wear bonnets in the house, but we didn't wear them outside. I don't recall. I just don't recall. And I lived in I stayed in Fairfield Arms, Gonzales Gardens. I had cousins that stayed in the place over there by Hyatt Park. I forgot the name of it.
Lattimore Manor.
Yes. I had cousins stay over there. I had cousins stay in Henley Homes. And, you know, there was some rough looking people. But when we stepped out the house,
you looked like something.
Yeah, because our parents didn't play that. They didn't play that.
No, now it's not how we were raised. So we wanted to look better than our situation, let's say.
I can't stand them darn Crocs. I do not like Crocs. Around the house, you know, doing a little here and there, but to like actually leave the house and you're getting dressed for the day, no, it's a no. It's a definite no for me. Put you some gym shoes on, some regular shorts and a t-shirt or whatever. I don't know. These kids, I don't know.
So I think it's just a different way of thinking, how they were raised. I don't know.
They're too relaxed for me. They are too relaxed for me.
I don't think so. When you say relaxed, do you think it's because they don't take life serious? Do you think we took life a little more serious?
We were planners.
We were.
We were planners. They are living for the day. They are living moment to moment. Because they don't know, they don't care about future mm-hmm. like how we cared about future. We were instilled to think future.
Correct.
These kids, all they care about is what's going to happen today.
Right. And I explained that to you. And they're
living today.
I explained that to you when I told you about my daughter's situation. So my daughter works. I ain't going to put a business out there. But she makes pretty good money, right? And she was so taken back when they made her permanent on her job. And she could no longer get paid every 2-3 days. Now she has to wait through the pay period because she blows through her money. And she doesn't have any responsibility, lives with her parent, and pretty much phone free, car free.
That's why.
Insurance free. She throw a little money here there to shut us up, but she pretty much is able to pocket all her money, but yet she has no savings. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying, when things come up, when you need tires, when you need, you got all this, you know, free range, but why aren't you saving your money? This is the time when you save your money. I remember, here goes some crazy shit, right? So there's this show on HGTV called House Hunters, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm watching this little girl, and I'm never going to forget her name, Ashley. Little white girl. She's like, yeah, I just finished college. I'm 22. I just finished college couple years ago. Got my first job. Stayed in my parents' bedroom for about 5 years. And so basically the objective of the show is to you going out to either find your new house or your first house or however. Mm-hmm. So this was Ashley finding her first house. So she says, so I'm at home in my parents' basement and I'm able to save all my money. So now that we're going to look for my first house, I have $100,000 to put down. Mm-hmm. Hold on, Ashley. How the fuck you save $100,000 in the last 4 years, because at this time she 26. How the fuck she save $100,000? Ashley knew what the fuck she was going to do time she got in college. Let me tell you what Ashley ass did. Ashley had a college fund, first of all. Okay. So her parents gave her her college fund when she got to college. Ashley went to school on scholarships. So she was able to save portions of her college fund. Then got out of school, saved all her money. I'm talking about she walked us through this shit. She was like, yeah, when everybody else was going out and buying lunch and this and that.
Ashley had a plan.
Ashley was taking her sandwiches, her bologna and cheese, and her ham and cheese and her tuna fish to work. Because Ashley knew she was going to buy her a house and she was going to put $100,000 down.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley bought a $200,000 house with a $100,000 down payment. Then, hold on, this bitch even more resourceful because she went through NACA.
Oh.
Yeah. Got pre-approved. Well, she got her little 1% loan for the house. This mm-hmm. was years ago, y'all. Got a little 1% loan for the house, put the $100,000 down. Then she got all these first-time buyer rebates and different things. Mm. So Ashley wound up putting $125,000 on
a $200,000
house. Let me explain to y'all why Ashley's house was $200,000. Ashley didn't just get a house, y'all. Ashley got a motherfucking duplex. Ashley decided she was going to live on one side.
And rent the other
give
side.
Give her a renter on the other side. And then 5 years, have, and now mind you, Ashley was going to pay double, triple her mortgage so that once she finished paying that house off, by then, I should have a husband, right? So then, that's when I'm going to buy my forever home. You see that? But now, I got $200,000 in the bank. So here we are. She was 26 at the time. By the time that house would have been paid off, Ashley would have been 31. No, she said it was 7 years. So let's say it took her the whole 7 years because she had the plan laid out. I wish I could find that episode. I'm going to have this house paid off in 7 years because this is how much I'm going to charge for rent. This is a 26-year-old who had masterminded this. Okay? So at 32, you would have had a $200,000 asset, a job, no student loan, and here go your husband.
I should have learned something from Ashley.
Okay.
I should have learned something from Ashley.
I was sitting there at 42, listening to 42, 43, listening to this little girl who 26, and she got it all figured out. But somebody, I don't know if it was the mama or the daddy, somebody must have put that fire in her to know, I will not be broke. This is the blueprint. This how we gonna motherfucking do it. Because if I had seen Ashley when I was 16, 17 years old, I think I would have been like, yeah, Ashley, that sounds like a good ass idea. I think I'm gonna do that too. But I didn't see Ashley's at that age to say, wow, we can really do that?
See, I knew it took effort to live, right? I know it takes effort. You got to get out there and you have to work to take care of yourself and take care of your household and your children. And I knew that staying home was not going to be the answer. I knew scheming on men was not going to be or family members or whomever was not going to be the answer. So I was mentally prepared to say, I know that whatever I do, whether I had to struggle, when I say struggle, I mean like make ends meet, however I made ends meet, I know that I had to go out there and do these things. Today, these kids don't even think about the conserving energy, conserving water. Like how your mom said, turn all these lights off. You got too many lights on, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're taking too long. Your showers are too long. See, we grew up with that embedded into our brains because we knew we were so eager to get out there on our own. I just remember I couldn't wait to learn how to drive. Now these kids don't want to drive. They want to Uber everywhere. Mm-hmm. They want to Lyft. They want to whatever, however they get around. Owning a car is good until the car payment is due, until the insurance is due. And then they look like, I don't need no car. Mm-hmm. I can ask mama for a ride, or I can ask such and such for a ride, or I can Uber my way. Our mindset was not like that. So Ashley was way ahead of her time.
She was.
Even for me, she was way ahead of her time thinking about how she was planning out, you know, her mortgage and her life. Mm-hmm. I was on target as far as I know that I needed to move out, not because I wanted to be grown or be under my mama's roof or anything, didn't want to be under her roof, but I know that there's a time where I was ready to, and I moved out at 26. I moved out. But I knew that it was time for me to go, and I needed to do these things. I was prepared in that way. But the way Ashley did it was genius. At 26, so that means before the age of 26, she was already thinking of the plan. By 26, she executed her plan.
Correct. Ashley knew when she graduated at 22, she literally said, in 4 years. It took me 4 years to graduate from college. It's going to take me 4 years to buy a home.
So she knew her plan.
Right.
And she stuck to it, Lord Jesus.
Ashley had it down. She said, and I'm going to have this house paid off in 7 years. And if I can, I'm going to make extra payments to see if I can get it paid off even before then.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she did the whole little duplex situation. So she, it's almost like, now, do plans always work out the way we think they're going to work out?
No, but at least you have a plan.
But at least you have a plan.
Right.
You can't walk around life by the seat of your pants and just be like, oh, well. It is what it is. I don't have any kids. I don't have a husband. I don't have any responsibility. If I decide today or tomorrow I want to get up and move to Alaska, I can. What's going to stop me?
I don't want a responsibility because I was so ready to get out.
And you're right. What would stop her? She has, the world is her oyster at this point. She can literally do anything she wants to do. But I'm just like, all right, so you go and you move to Alaska. And then what? Because here we are. We don't have a plan. It's no plan. And then before you know it, your ass is 40 or 43. And then you trying to go in the military.
Because your plans never.
So I told Vaughn this morning, my honey, the trials. I'm a nurse on a military base with the basic trainees. They have now raised the age to come into the military to 43. So when these 43-year-old people come into my clinic to be seen, all broken up, hip hurt, back hurt, knees hurt, feet hurt, shoulder hurt. Yes, ma'am. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's going on. I politely point to the screen of my monitor and show them their age. This is what's wrong, motherfucker. You decided to come in here at 43 years old.
Mind you, you probably wasn't even a regular gym member.
Right. You wasn't even fit before you got here. I asked them, did you do anything to prepare your body?
No.
Before you got here?
Well, I used to go to... I used to go to the Planet Fitness and walk on the treadmill for 30, 45 minutes every day.
Well, now you in the Fort Jackson sun of 99 and ain't no air condition like at the Planet Fitness. And ain't no walking now. It's running with a third grader on your back in your full BDUs in boots
for 30, 20 plus miles.
And you ain't in shape and you about to die.
I mean, and he is rightfully so. He's about to die. Like he.
A 17-year-old would be ready to die.
You ready to die.
Your ass 43.
Y'all should have put that man in, you know, back in the day when you go to the health room, the sick room, and they lay you down. Baby, you just need to lay down. He needed to lay down. He ain't had no business going into the military.
Okay, but even back in the day when you went to the health room, at some point either you was going to have to go back to class or they were going to have to call your mama.
Y'all should have called that man mama.
You couldn't stay in the damn health room all day. That nurse in there gave your ass 30 minutes to an hour. You weren't finna stay back there with her all
y'all
day.
Y'all should have called them people mama. The mama probably was the one who put them in the military.
My thing is, what was your plan? You didn't think this shit through, Harold. Come on.
He did think it through. He went to Planet Fitness. He thought if he get on the treadmill for 30, 45 minutes a day, that was conditioning his feet and his mind and his heart. He forgot the sun and all the clothes. See, if you go to the gym, you just wear t-shirt and shorts, or you know, you wear a little spandex and whatever. So you're lightweight.
I can't say this no easier. They got YouTubes. They got YouTubes on the Forge, the ACFT, all this shit you got to do during your 10 weeks of basic training. The whole 10 weeks is laid out of what you going to have to do.
That man fighting for his life, and y'all are talking about YouTube.
When I went into the military in 1994.
Y'all should have said he need to be discharged.
Nobody told me what I had up against me. Mm-hmm. They told me, hey, my recruiter said, hey, you're going to have to be able to do 25 push-ups. You're going to have to be able to do 100 sit-ups. You're going to have to be able to run a mile and a half in less than 20 minutes. This is what we had to do in 1994. That's all the information they gave me. But I had that. So when I had that, guess what I did 5 months prior to me starting basic training? I took my ass to the track that I went to high school, and I made myself run that goddamn mile in under 20 minutes. I made myself be able to do them 100 sit-ups.
But we don't know what to recruit. It's a census thing now. It's, you know, let's God get signatures.
Damn. That's all I had. So then when I had to do the shit with the backpack on, I was like, oh, this hard. But guess what? It wasn't as hard as the little girl 2 down from me who didn't even start the shit, and she about to die. She just laying in the floor.
Let me tell you something.
You see what I'm saying? So you got to have a plan. You got to get prepared. Preparedness is everything, in life.
Babe, let me tell you, if I was to go in the military right now and be laid out before, baby, you going to see me. I'm like, I can't do it. Who I need to call? What papers I need to sign to get out? Girl. Ain't no grown person need to be going to military after age 20. I say after 30. You do not need to be joining no military unless you are fit enough to do it.
Now.
Mentally and physically.
Now let's come back. I have had some 40 to 43-year-olds to come in that basic training and beast that shit. Because, remember, are they still Gen X? Yeah, they still Gen X. Gen X is some motherfucking survivors.
Oh, Jesus.
We going to make a way out of no way. We going to find what we need to find to get where we need to get to do what we need to do, God damn it.
No, we're Gen Xers.
I think they still Gen X.
After
82, does Gen X start?
I think it's 80. I think 80 become millennials.
Oh, shit. I thought 90s was millennials. I don't know. But I don't know. I think if you can make it through the 80s from the crack era, I think you all right.
You all right?
So baby boomers are 46 to 64. Generation X is 96 to 80.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry, not 96. 65.
65 to 80.
To 80.
Uh-huh.
Millennials are 81 to 96.
Okay.
Gen Z was born. Like all of these are born years. Okay. Just in case people don't know. These are all born years. Generation Z, born 97 to 2012.
No crazy motherfuckers right there.
And my daughter. Generation Alpha is 2013 to 2025.
And that's Michaela. So
the Gen Zs, I'm scared of them. I am so scared of them because they are risk takers.
They are different kind of.
They're risk takers.
They the YNs.
They don't give a yes. They don't care.
The Gen Zs are the YNs.
Oh my gosh, they don't listen. They don't care. They are in the moment. I don't know what these alpha people are like right now.
And so I'm gonna say half of the millennials, because my cousin Saida, she's a millennial. She's very responsible. Sometimes I question some of her little thought process. But for the most part, she's very responsible. My cousin Angel, yeah, they all millennials. So I think I'm going to say we back to that crack era. If you can make it through the crack era, I think you should be pretty responsible. Now, before our time run out, I want to talk to y'all about
crack era.
Because girl, the crack era was rough.
That epidemic.
So
was
if
crazy.
You didn't fall into the, you know, if you really listen to the TV advertisement, this is your brain on drugs. Don't do them.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't fall into the crack era and you made it out unscathed and you ain't get on that shit, and you all right.
You good.
You made it. But I want to go back to this little girl because the show was supposed to be about today, YNs and their survival skills. The 20-something-year-old from 96 to the 20-something-year-old in 2026 because we were 20-something in 96.
Mm-hmm.
And these churn is totally different. The survival skills, the ambition, all of that is different.
So different.
So earlier this week, I went to my little hood spot, and it's a kind of desolate area. So it's only like four stores in there. And I saw a young lady being dropped off with all her belongings in a parking lot. So, you know, I'm being nosy. I'm trying to watch and see what's going on. I'm like, what, dude, nigga just came and put her out? And so she's half naked because she got a little romper on with her booty cheeks out and a bonnet on her head. But she got a hamper and a duffel bag and a trash bag with all her things. So, you know, I'm trying not to make eye contact because I don't want her to ask me for nothing. Because the empath and the good heart in me, I ain't going to be able to tell the baby no. I just don't want to look at her. I go in the store. And I said, I'm going to stay in here because I don't want this motherfucker asking me for nothing. Whole time I'm in the store, people are watching her. What's going on with the girl outside with all this stuff? But she's trying to call somebody on the phone. I heard her before I started, you know, in the store. She was like, yeah, can you give me so-and-so number? I'm out here with my things. Da, 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 da. And it's hot. It's hot than a motherfucker. Felt bad for her. But I'm in the store, and I'm watching, so I'm observing. Because meanwhile, even though I don't want nobody to ask me for nothing, I don't want nobody to hurt her either. So just kind of watching. And remember, I'm in the hood. So I see a truck pull up maybe about 30, 40 minutes later with three little grungy men in it, right? She got the duffel bag across her. She got the hamper and stuff beside her. And they talking to her for a minute. And they must have told her, come on. These suckers ain't even get out the car, the truck, to help her. She got to put a hamper and her trash bag in the back of the truck. And she go get in the truck with one little old man in the front, two little younger men. I said, Lord, Jesus, Lord. And it was so overwhelming to me. I was like, Lord, I don't know what she going to do with these gentlemen. But it can't be good. No. She going to be back in somebody, something. And Lord, I just hope they didn't hurt her. But I say all that to say, it's no way you should be. And she remind me of somebody my daughter's age, about 25.
So where's the, like, your village? Where's your... At that age, like, where is your village? What type of person could this be?
How you living?
Yeah, like, at that young of an age.
That you pillar the post with all your belongings, because this looked like pretty much all she had.
Like, that is very bothersome and unfortunate, because you look at yourself at that age, or your child, like, where did something go wrong? Where did it go wrong to where you are out here with all your belongings? You're in the middle of nowhere and you are trying to bum a ride with people. And the fact that you got into a vehicle with that don't look safe on the outside, and no one helped you bring your belongings from the parking lot into the vehicle, and they just all sat in there and just watched her do. Like, what have you done with your life to put yourself in that situation?
So we gonna name the little girl Destiny, because it's always a Destiny or a Brianna that's just out here.
I mean, it's so sad to be. You haven't even lived life yet. You have not even gone. I mean, you're going through the trenches now because you have put yourself in that position. But at that age, you are still discovering. You are still finding your way through life. You know, you have not arrived until they say by 30 you have arrived. And, you know, after that it should be mapped out and clean. But, you know, before then, in your teen years up through your mid-20s, you are still in your discovery zone. You are still trying to figure out work, life, career. You know, you're still figuring. People are graduating from college by 21, 22 at the latest. If they're a 5-year student. Yeah, like Ashley. But
Destiny and Ashley was two different people.
Two different. And that just goes to show you we all have the same 24 hours in a day.
Amen.
And
what you do with yours versus what I do with mine.
And the influences that are around you can make or break you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like whatever destiny was influenced, it broke her. But it doesn't have to be that way. She is going to have to dig so deep into herself and sacrifice a lot of things to break that cycle. That means she will have to humble herself to the point where she is broken to nothing. And right now, we see it as like nothing, but to her, that was everything because she still made a way to get where she is in that state. But she's going to have to lose it all to rebuild herself back. And I don't want her to lose it all, but she's going to have to shed some parts of her away in order to rebuild because that's not safe. I don't recall having too many destinies I grew up with. I had something like wannabe destinies growing up, where people I know that came from good homes mm-hmm. that wanted to do street hood shit, and they weren't even built for that life.
Mm-hmm.
And they made that a part of life. I don't know why. Because, baby, I'm telling you, my mom and daddy, if I came from good stock, you're going to know it.
Right.
I'm not going to pretend to be some hood thug, dude, cops and robbers, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, just because I want to blend in
and
fit in. There's
nothing glamorous about the hood.
Nothing. Nothing at all. Only thing glamorous I will say about the hood is teaching you life skills of how being cognizant of your surroundings,
to make it out.
And to learn how to hustle from your surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, it's nothing glamorous about it.
Mm-mm. Hell no.
So it should make you say, I don't want my children, or I don't want to continue to grow up with this mindset. What do I need to do to better myself and do it smart?
Mm-hmm.
Do it a smarter way, because me and Destiny could be doing the same thing, but I can be doing it smarter than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm out there in the street, I'm not going to look like I'm in the street.
Right.
I may act like I'm in the street because of the things that I might be doing, but I'm not going to look like I'm in the street for the things that I'm doing. So it's just, that's a whole, that 20-year-old in 1996 could be a destiny in 2026, but it's how we maneuver through life. You get what I'm saying?
Right. It's too many avenues you can take to preserve yourself. They got these little extended stay hotels. They got one where they turn them into like little studio apartments. You literally pay $200 a week. And those are your utilities. You know, you have a safe place to, you know, take a bath and sleep at night. If you 20-something years old in 2026 and you can't scrounge up $800 a month, $800 a month, $200 a week, That is less than $40 a day. What the fuck is going on here? What's going on?
If Destiny is doing what I think she's doing, she can make more than $800.
And that's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
So like, so what are we doing here? What are we doing here? What are we doing here? You got to start off with a plan. If you ain't got nothing but a plan, but I'm going to get myself safe and stay in a studio apartment, so I need to make at least $40 a day to pay for it, that need to be your first plan of business. Because then you can make another plan after that. But you can't make no plan hopping out the truck with your basket and your trash bag and your duffel bag. You can't make no plan like that.
I feel bad for Destiny.
Because you all over the place. But I feel bad for Destiny too. But I had to remember, I done took on some Destiny situations before trying to help a nigga. And it hurt me in the end.
Right.
It took something from me.
Well, I guess when I say I feel bad,
yeah,
I feel bad that she doesn't know how to
survive.
Yes, survive.
She don't. And I really hate that for her. But maybe this is her bottom. Maybe she got to see this in order for her to, I don't know, power up. Because, baby, let me tell you something. I ain't always had it like I got it now, but I know once I hit that motherfucking bottom, I said, oh, shit, hell no, nah, this ain't going to be my life.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever hit a bottom. It was no stopping me. There was a point where you just said, you know what? I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to live like my mom. I'm not going to not have this. I'm going to give my kid the best. It was just something.
Right. It doesn't have to be a devastating bottom.
It doesn't have to
be.
It could be something like you looking back. Like I look back now at the apartment. I was telling Vaughn about I had an apartment in the hood and I didn't want to be in the hood because I've always been bad and bougie. And so I took the little old refrigerator out of there and the old stove. And I went and got my little friend to get me a nice double door refrigerator and a nice flat surface stove. And I went and retiled my floor in the kitchen and tiled my sink and put carpet in there. And baby, when the rental office lady came to inspect my apartment, because my apartment was $250 a month, I was paying top rent. This is back in the 90s. I was paying top rent because I had a job, baby. I had two jobs. This is before I had a kid. And the little lady came in there. She said, what the hell you done in here? I said, I made it nice.
You know, that remind me of Coming to America when they changed their apartment.
Yes. I said, I made it beautiful for me because it was so ugly. And so I had to make it pretty because I don't live like these other people in here. And honey, she looked at me and she said, well, tell me when you moving because I'm going to come live in here. Because you got this motherfucker laid out.
Oh, God. I never met anybody.
I knew then. I didn't want to live like everybody else. I wanted to have the best. And so I had to plan my life so I could do that. Like, what the hell? Y'all all right with this? Like, I would go to work. Like I told you, I work at two jobs. Motherfuckers be sitting all on the stairs. I can't even walk up to my fucking apartment. I'm fucking tired. I was like, aye, excuse me. Can I get upstairs? Yeah, look, wouldn't even get their ass up. Move they butt over to the side so I could walk through. I said, ain't this some shit? And I'm sure.
They tired. They've been sitting in that on the same step all day
got
long.
Got crates and shit all sitting out on the side so they homeboys can come and sit with them. Like, I'm looking like, hey, yo, what's going on here? And I can only imagine where those people are at today. But when I tell you I ain't never sat outside on no goddamn stoop or no step or no crate all day.
I mean, even on my day off. Enjoyment for them.
Fuck that.
That was their, zen time. That's how they zen. I don't know.
I'm a zen at the spa.
Yeah,
you zen on outside in the hot sun on the crate,
looking at all the cars go up and down the road and seeing who went to who house, and you know they were the crime watchers.
Shit.
They were the crime. They were
more like the crime doers, waiting for your ass to leave. Look, clocking everybody's schedule to see what time they was gonna leave the house.
They were on. That was their shift. That was they. You know, working shifts.
You know what? I'm not dealing.
I know it's hard out here for a pimp.
So as we wrap up the show, what is your last advice to a young lady in her 20s in 2026?
Get you a mentor, someone who is going to lead you down the right. Well, the thing about it is, be open to listen. Be open to hear some hard truths, and don't always just book what someone is saying. Like, that is my problem with the young ladies and young men. They do not want to listen because they think they have all the answers. And that's why they find themselves in the situations that they are in, because they don't want to listen. I will never tell you something that I haven't been through, or it may work for me, it may not work for you, but you know, we try and see, right? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We try a different way. Just be open to hearing someone else out that has really been through a situation similar to yours, or giving you the advice that you need, because you do not know the answers. You don't. Because if you knew the answers, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in. I know for me, it was a privilege for me to listen to my grandmother and my mom, right? Mm-hmm. The older women in my family, my aunts, all of them. Did I like everything they said? No. Did you like your mom and you know, whomever, to tell you things that you didn't want to hear? No, but guess what? We sat there and we listened. And if it worked for them, and if it didn't work for me, you know, we try something else, a different route, but just listen. Mm-hmm. That's the key right there. Be open and listen. So that's my advice.
And just to piggyback off of that, you listen to the advice, you take what you need, and you throw out the rest, because it got to be some truth to them. Hell, they done made it this far. I tell little young girls all the time, when they like to take shots at the old bitches, you trying to get to my age. I done been your age, mm-hmm, and survived and flourished. You said it before, you got the same 24 hours a day that somebody else has. So it's no need for you to be jealous of nobody else.
Mm-mm. You can't.
And now.
That's your downfall.
And now, with the resources available to everyone with social media. Remember, we didn't have social media back then. We barely had fucking cell phones back then. We just started getting, what, cell phones back in, what, 95, 96?
Towards the late 90s.
Yeah. So you have all the resources to be resourceful. But taking resources and being resourceful with them takes action.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not taking action, if you're not taking the opportunity.
And it's work. It's not going to come like some magic snap of a finger. It takes work and motion.
Right. You got to want it bad enough. And it's going to take more than turning over in the bed and looking on the phone to want it bad enough. You're going to have to get out there. You're going to have to beat the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, back in the day, we used to have to go places and fill out applications.
Mm-hmm. I remember I couldn't wait to work. I mean, I couldn't wait to get my first car. I couldn't wait to get my first everything. I was so determined to get out there and work, to save my money for my first apartment. Well, I didn't have an apartment, but for my house, my car. I mean, it was everything to just have something. Now, I don't know what.
And we got to get that thing back. We got to get that beast back in us. We gotta have the taste for wanting better again, because I feel like now y'all don't really want a lot.
The only thing I will say that I'm admirable about this young generation is they are risk takers. And that's something that I grew up not taking a lot of risk. I was very safe. At everything I did was pretty safe. It was safe proof. Like, I knew if I did it this way, it's safe. I know the outcome was going to be safe.
Because that's what the baby boomers taught you.
Yes, they taught us to be safe and careful.
But the Gen Xers taught their kids, the millennials and their children, that go for it. And they ain't going for it. But I think we spoon fed them too much. So I don't think
I don't like how they take their risk, but I like the fact that they take them. They do take the risk. And they're not afraid.
I think they need to be better planners.
Yes.
And better blueprint makers when they take those risks, so that it's a fail-proof plan.
Right. And at least when you have the plan and you take the risk, it's like, it's okay. Be okay with the plan not going through.
Mm-hmm.
I think for us, when we're not okay, if the plan didn't go as expected, we're in a tizzy. We are afraid. We temper tantrum. But for them, it's like, oh, well, tried something different. Let's try it over here. Like, that's what I like about, they don't plan well, but they do take risk.
All right.
Well,
that's it for our show today. You know where to find us on our social media platforms.
Yes, you can find us on all platforms at The Very, V-A-R-Y, Necessary Podcast. And never miss an episode on our website at TheVaryNecessaryPodcast.com.
And we out.
Bye.